The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. Hey, we are counting down to our anniversary. Only a few left. This week we're going to be doing Batman Begins. All right, spoiler, John puts me in my place. And it's pretty good. I got to give it to him. So let's get into the store. Hey, John, how we doing?
I am fantastic, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great. Awesome. I'm excited to be back here at Arkham Comics and Games.
Always.
Yes.
Always happy to have you.
I wonder how many people know that that's where we're at. We have so many. We have all these new followers, new listeners, and we haven't said that in a while. We haven't done our little shtick where we show up at the shop. Or what? I show up. You're always there anyways.
I'm always here.
And
I live here.
Yeah, and I fly down. You know, yep. My arms are tired.
I said, boy, are your arms tired.
You know,
we haven't made that joke in months.
In months. You know, it's like we're coming up on a year now. We've got some fun stuff planned for, I do anyways. I've got some stuff planned for our anniversary, our 1 year issue.
Awesome.
Coming out. I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't even told you the stuff I want to do.
Yeah, I was going to say,
You're rolling your eyes like, am I supposed to act excited? you know, what we usually do is that, you know, we do our little quote unquote air. Here go our famous air quotes again.
Air quotes, yeah. Podcasting is not a visual medium.
Well, actually it is.
Just putting that out there.
Well, ours isn't.
It could be.
But yeah, it
yeah,
is. There is,
it could
there
be,
is
but
video
ours
podcasting,
is
but we don't do that. I have enough trouble getting this thing out as you well know with this podcast tonight.
yes, I do.
Yes, you do. No, so we always do our show and at the end we wrap up and we hope that the people are still listening. But if you're listening to us right now and you haven't rated, reviewed, and subscribed on iTunes, pause the podcast, go to iTunes.
We'll wait.
We'll be here when you get back. And please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. We always wait till the end for that. And, you know, if anything pops in while you're listening to us and you want to comment, jump on Twitter and hit us at, you know, thebrightside_chat and you can yell at us. We've had a couple people do that lately. And that's actually fun. Those are fun. If you like, you know, it's fun in a different way. But we have, if you're not following us on Twitter, we actually have quite a few people following us that it's great conversation about comic books. They tag us and they talk comic books all day long. It's a lot of fun. If you're not involved in that, jump in. And actually we have, you know, we're on Instagram. I don't know what we are there. You can find us on Instagram at the Brightside Chat. Just search it. You'll find it. But, Brian, you saw my tweet the other day. Did you see that? One of our listeners follows us on Instagram, listens to us, was nice enough to send me the Star Wars despecialized edition.
Yes. I was like, I think I saw it, but.
Yeah, you saw it. How cool is that?
Yes, I did see that. That's awesome.
I was psyched. That was Friday. Yeah, yesterday.
Friday. Yes. I saw it Friday.
So, well, Friday. This is Monday morning, so.
Yeah, so it wasn't yesterday.
So it was the other day.
Oh, a little peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, we don't record.
In case you want to know how the sausage is made,
we're not
this
up
is
at
Saturday
5
night.
5 a.m. on Monday, making the donuts. Yeah. But yeah, no, that was cool. I've started already watching and comparing. Very excited. It's a lot of fun. It looks great.
Yeah. Great quality. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have a more in-depth review on Wednesday. Thursday for the people listening, but when we talk on Wednesday night. But yeah, on Thursday, I'll have a more in-depth review. I'm going to get into some little nitty gritty, really nerd out. This is a lot of fun. This is my wheelhouse.
I love how you say when we're on a podcast, you know, talking about nerdy stuff on the Nerdy Legion and you're like, well, I'm going to nerd out for a minute. Like, literally everything that comes out of your mouth is nerding out during this podcast.
Okay.
But we have to make a point to say we're nerding out.
But you know what's funny is, like, and a lot of our, well, I don't think a lot of our listeners don't know this. Even our longtime listeners, we're almost a year now.
Yeah, long time.
Our longtime don't know, like, our original intention was to do, like, a comic and home theater, because home theater, you're the comic guy, I'm the home theater guy.
Like peanut butter and jelly, those two just go together.
Well, you know? It does for me, and that's why we thought it would be good, and then we just stayed with comics, which is fine, but it's like, and you're as much home theater as I am comics.
Oh, I am, yeah, every once in a while we'll sneak into a little conversation about that.
You're heavy comics, and then home theater second. I'm heavy home theater and comics is second, and we've gone to comics and I'm working my butt off to try and catch up to you, which, you know, maybe year 10. But I'll never catch you because you'll be 10 years advanced.
I'd say, yeah, mine will just keep going exponentially as well. So.
Exactly. So I won't catch you, but, you know, we're working at it.
We'll close the gap.
But either way, we're having a blast. We're having fun doing it. I'm having fun doing it. It's just, we did a couple of early recordings that just didn't work out when we tried to go to the, like, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
Even I'm bored.
I didn't have the heart to break it to you. I was like, oh man, this is rough.
Even I was bored. I'm listening to going, that's me. No, so.
Putting myself to sleep.
No, but I listen to home theater podcasts all the time. Yeah. I love them. You don't have to describe it, but did you listen to the one I sent you today?
I listened to part of it where you told me to listen.
Of it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have time to listen to the whole thing, but I did listen to some of it.
And if any of our listeners are having trouble sleeping, let me know. I will send you a clip.
Oh, hope those guys don't listen to our podcast because they won't be happy about that.
Oh, no. I've tweeted.
Here, listen to my show. It'll put you to sleep.
No, before we had the, before we had our podcast, I used to retweet them on my own when I, you know, and my 20 followers would know. But I used to say that all the time. Like, if you don't know what this, if this makes you go to sleep, don't follow them. But if this, what I just said, perked your ears up, follow these guys and listen. Cause they obviously, they have a huge following. It's, AV Rant. I'll give their name out, but AV Rant. And every week, their podcast is over 2 hours long every week.
Yeah.
And all they do is take questions. They answer questions every week on how to improve your home theater, and people just email them, tweet them, or whatever, and every week they can't get to all their questions. They're always like, I put my question in a while ago about something that I wanted to upgrade, and I just wanted their opinion, and it took 2 weeks to get an answer. So it's the same. It's one, and they laugh all the time too. They're like, we're a niche, just like we're a niche, but couple things in the news that's happened.
Okay.
Did you had to have seen my tweet and that conversation that I got going on Twitter about the Joker?
I did.
And that guy, I don't even know if that's real. I'll be honest with you. When I saw that, one of our followers who has a private, I won't say his name because it's private, he has a locked Twitter account, so you can't retweet it. So I just grabbed the picture and I retweeted it. He's listening right now. He'll know who he was. But he's private, so I don't want to infringe on his privacy, but that's where I got the picture from. So I don't even know if that picture is, that's real. For all I know, that's made up, but it doesn't take away from my statement. You know what I mean? This is exactly what people were afraid of. And it's like, you're going to put humanity into the Joker. That's the part that people, and it was funny, we have one guy that replied and he tried to show some panels. I don't know if you saw that.
I did, yes.
And I can appreciate his seeing that. And I wanted to say that on the podcast. I don't know if he listens or not, but I did want to say that I can appreciate his interpretation is such, but it for most people, and that's why I put in my tweet, it's like some fans, not all fans, but some fans are afraid of this. And some fans have seen the Joker in this way. You know what I mean? And it's like, and the way I read those panels, it's like, I don't see humanity there. And he does, and that's fine. And that's, you know, all of this stuff is open to interpretation. That's what I was, you know, what do you think?
I mean, I agree with you. Like, that is exactly what I don't want to see out of this movie, you know? I mean, I'll say it again. I don't know how many times we've brought it up, but I don't care to see the Joker humanized in any way. I don't care to see, like I said, the, you know, society beating him down and turning him into a killer. Like, why can't a psycho just be a psycho? You know, why can't he just be crazy, you know? Why, I don't know why we have to put a backstory to that. It's always worked without one, you know? I mean, 80 years we've had the Joker, maybe 78 years, I don't know. we've had the Joker and he's always been the same. We've never had to know who he was or where he came from or why he does what he does. He's always just done it. And I don't think we need those answers now.
You know? Right.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I thought that this, I don't know what you'd call it, a meme, whatever, it really drove home the point that I don't know if we've made clearly enough. This is one of those things that it's like, here's a critic, right? Maybe the critics, I think, are going to love this movie because from all accounts, it looks like a very well done movie. It's right. The critics are going to love it. At the same time, and it's all wrapped up right in this little quote, you know, Phoenix's Joker brings something that no previous version has had, humanity. If you're a critic, you might be absolutely right there. But the part you're missing, because you're a critic and you're not a comic book fan, you don't know the backstory, you don't understand right. that the Joker's not supposed to have humanity. So that's right. actually not a good interpretation. And that's what I'm afraid of here is that people are going to come away from that. Critics are going to come away and be like, wow, that was a great movie. It was so well done. The emotion that you felt out of the Joker and the humanity and all of this. And it was such a well-made movie. And we're all going to be like, that's not supposed to be there.
right.
And that's the part where it's like, And we're even seeing stuff like, finally, a DC, you know, a comic book movie that could win Academy Awards. Like, Heath Ledger won an Academy Award for playing the Joker. And it's yeah. like, are you kidding me? It's like, we're forgetting that. And he did it without bringing humanity. He did it with, like, by being a psycho.
Right.
I'm finding it frustrating because I see both sides of it, but I feel like people aren't seeing the comic book fan side. You know what I mean?
I think this has the potential to be a divisive movie in that regard because there'll be a segment of the population that will love it exactly for that reason, that they brought humanity to the character. And, you know, these will be your casual comic book fans or viewers. And the other segment will be, I don't want to say truer fans, but more long-term comic book readers, let's put it that way.
Right.
That even though they still may think it's a good movie, because again, I still think it's going to be a good movie.
So do I. Yeah.
I just don't want what it's telling me, you know?
Right.
I think, like I said, there will be two camps on this movie, you know, more so than any other comic book movie, I think, that we've really ever had. Like, this one has the potential to be, like, the most divisive comic book movie we've ever had, you know, for that, you know, in that regard. You know, like I said, we'll see. You know, it comes out in a couple of weeks. We'll see.
I can't wait. You know? I'm very much looking forward to it. The closer we get to it, the more excited I'm getting because, you know, and we'll talk about it when it comes out, but I feel like I know I'm going to like it, but we're still going to have that caveat. We're still going to be like, this isn't, I will be blown away if they find a way to do it right.
I know I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but my mindset going into this is that this is not really a comic book movie.
Right.
Like, to me, this is just a movie about a guy
in a clown suit.
So what? So is it. I mean, Pennywise has a clown suit, you know, but like, to me, this is just a drama about a guy who basically gets beat down by society. You know, let's back up on that a little bit too, because I don't know about you, but I've been pretty beat down by society too in my life. And I still haven't painted my face white and gone out and killed a bunch of people.
Well, there was that one time.
So, well, yeah, that's true.
You didn't kill anybody, but you did. Yeah.
I mean, that was a weekend in college. Right. You know, but
enough said.
But you know what I mean? But anyways, like I said, to me, this is more just a drama, just a movie about a guy and what he goes through. And I'm not really tying it necessarily into the DC universe, or he's just going to happen to be called the Joker. And I don't know who even calls him the Joker in this movie.
Well, he
because
does.
This might be another
he
movie.
He says it. Remember, you've seen the clip where he's like, when you announce me, can you call me Joker?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, but I don't know where he came up with that, and we're going to find out.
You know what else, too? And we have not brought it. We've talked about this movie more than we talked about Endgame, it feels like.
I know.
But one point we've never brought up, do you know that character's name in this movie?
Yeah, it's...
Arthur Fleck.
A-Fleck.
You know what is it? A-Fleck.
A-Fleck, yeah.
That cannot be by accident.
No, it's not. It's not.
It cannot be by accident.
Yeah, A-Fleck.
And that is awesome. Yeah. You know? So either he's going around trying to sign
Affleck,
people
right,
up for insurance.
Yeah. We're both making the same point at the same time.
Yeah. Or he's, you know, it's a tribute to Big Ben over there.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was cool because somebody actually pointed that out to me. I didn't notice it either.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, we've never really mentioned that. And I thought that was kind of
I heard
cool.
it like probably a month ago and I kept
wondering. Yeah. It's been a few weeks too since I heard it. And every time we've talked about it, when we finished and I was listening back to it later, I said to myself, damn it, I should have brought up the Affleck thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I forgot, so.
Oh, well. I mean, whatever. But Martin from Nerdy Legion, at Geekvine on Twitter, Martin Ferretti, he had a great point, and I didn't even think of that. But once I read it, I was like, wow. He tweeted it out to in our Twitter there. He said, from everything I've seen so far, this movie is basically a remake of The King of Comedy, which is a great flick. Which had De Niro in it.
Right.
And I'm like, I was thinking back. I was like, holy, I mean, he's right. That's dead on. And are they doing that? Is the trailer leading us in that direction on purpose? Because like he said, it's like from everything you've seen so far, it's like it looks just like, and it does.
Right.
But you know, there's no way that's it's a remake of it. So maybe they're doing that on purpose and leading us in that direction so that when it does like a 180 from that, we will be surprised. You know what I mean?
There's definitely more to the story, I think, than what we've seen in the trailers.
Oh, of
course. There's no doubt about that. But what concerns me is going back to, like, the critics that have put these reviews out have seen the movie and they're still talking about the humanity. So regardless of what the movie turns out to be, I think that part of it is still there. That's, again, the part that bothers
right.
me.
Right. Here's the irony. When the critics didn't like a comic book movie, we didn't listen to them.
Right.
Now they're going to like a comic book movie, and we're not going to listen to them. We're going to be like, you're wrong! It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, because you can't. You have to be in the world to understand our point, to understand where we're coming from. It's like...
Well, not necessarily. They may be right. But like you mentioned earlier, it's just not what we want. Like, they may be right about everything they're saying, it's just not what we want out of the character.
Well, that's like saying, like, Casablanca is a great comic book movie. No, it's not. It's a great movie, but it's not a good comic book movie. So, The Joker isn't, it might be a great movie, but it's not a good comic book movie. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, if that's the way it plays out. I've got my mind's open to them doing it right, because... There's people out there that are way more creative than me. I mean, my brother's one of them. So it's like, you know, it's like there's ways to do this. I'm sure there's ways to do this that I haven't thought of that'll appease both sides. And my mind's open to that and I'm excited for it. Obviously, all I can imagine is what we're thinking right now. And it's like when you see something like this with no previous version has had humanity, well, there's a reason for that. So,
right.
All right. That's enough on our Joker tirade for today.
I think
let's move on.
Joker tirade, take three.
I know. I'm sure. Luckily, the movie will be coming out in a couple weeks, and we can move on after see it.
After we've seen it.
What do you think of the, you know, Kevin Smith started the rumor about the new Batman movie being based on the Long Halloween?
Well, I think if it's true, it would make for a good movie. I mean, that's a great story.
Yeah.
I just wonder if that... is like this is a trilogy of movies again.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm wondering if this is the long, like a long form of the Long Halloween, because that's again not a short book. So to do it justice, I don't know if a 2-hour movie is really going to hit on all the points of it. And again, we don't know how abridged the story is going to be, but I feel like if it's this trilogy of movies that's following this story arc, I think it has potential to be really good. you know, we've never really seen one of their live action movies that was kind of based around, you know, an existing graphic novel.
Right.
You know, we see it a lot of times with their animated stuff, but nothing they've done in live action Batman has been, I mean, it's all been original. I mean, I think it's interesting if that's what they decide to do. And like I said, the story's there. Like, I think it could be really good. So,
oh, yeah,
it just depends on.
I think it's going to be a great story if that's what they go yeah. with. I think it's going to be tough. I don't know about tough is the word, but a three movie story arc, knowing the book and being, you know what I mean? And then being like, where do they break it up? How do you break that? It's.
We got 9 hours split into three movies for a 200-page book called The Hobbit. So I think we, you know, it can be done.
Right.
It just depends on how they want to do it.
But what's funny is, like, when they say, oh, this movie's going to be based on The Long Halloween or whatever right. you base it on, we immediately go to the book and you're like, oh, could.
Yeah.
And now I almost would have felt better if we didn't know. And then we got to interpret as it went. Because now I right. think what I'm afraid of here now is people are going to be like, well, that's not – you've just damaged the movie because people are going to be like, this is nothing like The Long Halloween. Well, they might have grabbed a couple things from it, but it wasn't supposed to be a,
right.
you know.
Page for page.
Exactly.
Remake.
And we end up doing what, like, we did with Batman Hush, where it's like, yes, obviously Hush is Hush, but it's like, you right. know what I mean? What if now all of a sudden people are like, oh, the new Long Halloween movie. Well, it's not called that, but we know it's based on that. And people are going to be like, that was nothing like it. And people will be disappointed.
I would expect it to take, honestly, I would expect it to take elements from the story, but I don't think it's going to be like an adaptation of The Long Halloween. You know, like Matt Reeves, you know, wanted to come in and write his story. Like I said, he might be borrowing aspects from that storyline. And I don't know. And I don't know what Kevin Smith knows. You know, he's obviously got more inside track than we do. I don't expect it to be like an adaptation and follow it super closely. But if it did, again, I think it would be, you know, I don't think it would be bad to do that, but I don't I think he will have a more original screenplay than just a straight up remake yeah. of one of the graphic novels.
Well, you know? After this news, I would expect in the coming weeks or months, you'll see a little bit of a retraction. You yeah. know what I mean? Like, it's not The Long Halloween. We borrowed a couple things just to reset the public's image of it because I'm afraid people are going to compare it and then be disappointed even though it's a good movie.
Well, the other thing too is I listen to all of Kevin Smith's podcasts. You know, mm-hmm. He puts out like three different podcasts. I listen to all of them. And frequently these things that are headlines come from something he says on his podcast, which are wildly blown out of proportion.
Right.
You know, usually I have heard what he said and then I read the story that's written and it's really not
even close.
The same. Yeah. So I don't know exactly what he said.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, exactly. But that's what I'm saying is like, this is how things get blown out of proportion. And then right. when people go to see the movie, they're like, that was nothing like Long Halloween. Nobody said it was going right. to be Long Halloween. They just said and it got blown out of proportion because Kevin Smith said a couple of years ago that he was borrowing a couple of things from Long Halloween. Next thing you know, right. people are going into the theater thinking they're going to see Long right. Halloween and now they're disappointed. And that's why I'm saying right. I think there's going to be a retraction type press thing.
Well, I'll listen
to just
I've
bring
got
it
his
back.
Latest. I've got his latest podcast downloaded, actually. I'll start listening to it tomorrow. And I'm sure I'll hear whatever it was that he said.
Yeah.
He, a lot of times, won't do retractions, but he'll speak about it again on his next podcast.
Right.
You know, and then somebody else will put out the story. Kevin Smith says he gets quoted more than just about anybody
yeah.
in Hollywood. You know, Kevin Smith cried at this scene and blah, blah, blah. It's like, and like I said, it's usually just some variation of the truth about what he said.
Exactly. So this I just saw today. Did you see the IGN? I saw it on Twitter. The outtake from 2008's Iron Man that never made it.
I didn't see it, but I read the story about it.
Oh, okay.
The
yeah.
Nick Fury thing at the end you're
yeah,
talking about?
Where he yeah. mentions, and I have the quote right here. As if gamma accidents, radioactive bug bites, and assorted mutants weren't enough. And that's the quote Fury says before turning to face Tony Stark. Quote, I have to deal with a spoiled brat who doesn't play well with others and wants to keep his toys to himself. Right. End quote. So that's the clip that wasn't in the movie, but they were set to put that out in Iron Man. Right. Obviously referencing, because we hadn't had the Hulk yet.
No, and these were, again, but properties at that point that they couldn't have even been thinking that they were going to have. You know?
But they had enough forethought to know that when they filmed it, who knows? Because obviously you're not filming it and putting it out the next week. So, right. Let's film this scene. By the time the movie comes out, who knows what's going to happen? And obviously one of these did happen, the Hulk. They got that.
Right.
But they were talking about radioactive, but I mean, they...
Right, but they couldn't have even been thinking about Spider-Man or the X-Men in 2008. Clearly they were. I know, but I don't know why.
That's what's so cool. It's like, they are like, look, better to have it and not need it, and then you know, need it and not have it. And they want it. Imagine if they could have gotten all of that. Spider-Man, X-Men, everything. Imagine what the universe could have been. I'm not saying I'm upset with what they had.
No.
What are they thinking now? That's what's so cool to me. It's like they were thinking this in 2008 before they had anything. Now they have all the power in the world, cinematically. What are they thinking now? 4 years from now? 5 years from now? We might be looking back going, who needs Spider-Man? Because they've added in X-Men. They maybe Fantastic Four. That who knows? And then guess what? 6 years from now, Spider-Man pops back up. Ooh.
Right.
It's like, I mean, we're so focused on Spider-Man at the time, but it's like, imagine if all of this popped up. I mean, what are they thinking now? I think it's a lot of fun.
Well, and then, you know, again, this has to be super early speculation, but I guess, did you see the rumor today also about the Magneto casting?
No.
They're looking at Denzel Washington to play Magneto.
That would be cool.
It would be cool, but my point is, we're 4 or 5 years away from the X-Men, probably. Is he like 100? You know? Is he Ian McKellen again? You know?
Well, they had.
It's like.
They backed up Sam Jackson and.
I know, but I'm
Captain
saying.
Marvel.
Denzel, you know, he still looks better than me, but he's not a young guy.
And not only.
4 or 5 years from now.
4 or 5 years from now, they might be using a house in Powers of X, which who knows what timeline you'll bring in.
Yeah, he's in the year 1000 timeline.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I mean, Denzel, I think that would be awesome.
Oh, I mean, he's a great actor. Like I said, don't get me wrong. But
yeah, but I'm just thinking of like his personality, too.
He's going to be pushing over the hill just a little bit. So.
I think that would be great. I really like that idea. That would be. I'm also thinking of him now. Because you're right.
Well, and again, I don't know where they're. I can't even imagine they're thinking about casting Magneto yet, so I don't know where that rumor is actually coming from, but
I
read it
two or three times.
Two or three times today, it was popped up on social media.
But yeah, so. 5 years, he's got to be almost 60, no? Even now.
Yeah, he's got to be.
I mean, I know he's older than us.
Yeah.
And we're almost 60. I'm just kidding.
I know. Getting there.
All right. Only other thing I got is, did you see this? The Superman comic has him revealing himself?
Yes, I put out a post about that, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I saw your post, but yeah. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's cool story-wise, but it's also been done multiple times over the years. It's not the first time. So, like, I don't know why. It's the first time in the Rebirth era, but it was done in the New 52.
Was it?
It's been done. Yeah.
I didn't read them in New 52.
It's been done in the past. I have a feeling this will probably be part of the fallout from Event Leviathan.
Well, they have the storyline going right now where they have, I mean, if you read Lois and you read Superman now, there is a storyline going where it's almost like he should do it.
What I want to see is him, you know, at a podium in his Clark Kent suit and all the news pointed at him, you know, like it's being broadcast all over the world. And then he just takes off his glasses. And then literally everybody in the world just face palms and goes, duh, and that's it.
No,
that's the reveal,
best would be if he took off his glasses and the curly Q on his hair fell
just
down.
Popped down. Yes.
Everybody
it's like
went.
Spring loaded, like his glasses come off
his
and the curl comes down.
Yeah. Like, boing.
And they just go, oh.
It's amazing. What a disguise.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, obviously, whenever that happens in a comic, when somebody's, secret identity gets revealed, it makes for interesting storylines and, I'd be curious to see where it goes. Like, I wonder, does he still pretend to be Clark Kent at all after that? Like, is he going to go to his day job?
Yeah.
Or is he just going to be Superman from now on?
Well, yeah. You know, exactly.
It's like, because now is he like, now is he showing up on somebody's door and going, Clark Kent from the Daily Planet, can you tell me about the slime and the ice machine? You
know, exactly. Like, you're Superman.
Yeah. So.
All right. Oh, before we get to our topic, this week's FOC, what do we have here? We got.
Well, we had two great, like, dual covers for Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
By Warren Lau. Those are really, really good looking covers.
Yeah.
And then we had
the contrast, the one that I liked, that was before I had seen the ones you're talking about.
Steven Segovia.
Right. And I said it looked like,
Well, it looks like Mateena.
Yeah. That's what, Mateena.
But it's Steven Segovia, and this is for Batman and the Outsiders. And it looks like a deceased cover.
Yeah.
Super dark, but it's really great. I mean, it's very well done. So I think any of those three would be really good.
Yeah. The contrast, well, just like we said last week, it's like the contrast between the two. Like, this one's really good, and this one's real. One's so bright and colorful.
Distinctly different, yes.
And then the other one, it's like, yeah, it's they're so good. Hey, more than one way to skin a cat. They look awesome.
That's right.
All right. You ready to get to this week's topic?
Sure. 40 minutes later, I'm ready.
Do you need a break?
No.
Okay. I'd wait for you. All right. Let's get into Batman Begins.
All right.
If you make yourself more than just a man, then you become something else entirely.
Which is...
legend, Mr. Wayne.
Guy dresses up like a bat, clearly has issues.
Alright, so when we went to see this movie back in 2005,
yes,
we had the X-Men movies, I don't know how many. We might have been up to three by now, but we had...
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think two Spider-Mans,
yep.
Right? And obviously we'd had Batman 89, and as they got campier and campier.
Yes.
Which I didn't mind. I'll be honest with you. It's like, because we grew up with Batman comic books and we grew up with Batman 66.
Right.
So we had
the Super Friends.
And the Super Friends. But
right.
I didn't find the Super Friends to be as campy as Joel Schumacher got.
Not as campy as they weren't as campy as, like, Batman 66.
Right.
But there was definitely the, you know, the Bright Knight version of Batman.
Yes.
You know.
Right.
It wasn't anything that came later with Frank Miller and, you know, some of the, you know, the Dark Knight version that we all kind of like today. You know, when we were young, we didn't really have that.
No, we didn't. And you had the comic books, which had a version that was darker.
Yeah, but it was just getting there, because it was still coming out of the 50s and 60s versions, which were very campy still. Like, Batman started out in the, you know, when he started out in the 30s, you know, late 30s, early 40s, you know, he was, you know, darker, obviously. But as, you know, as we got into the age of hippies and LSD, you know, Batman came along for the ride, you know, and he became, you know, very... campy. Even before the TV show, like even the 50s Batman was a lot of space adventures and, you know, just a lot of different weird things. So it wasn't until like the late, mid 70s, I think, you know, when Neil Adams came along and started bringing Batman back to his dark side. But for you and I as kids, it was, you know, I wasn't reading those comics then. So
right.
It was very much the, you know, Adam West version of Batman. You know, we've kind of fast-forwarded to Batman 89, and, you know, it wasn't quite like the Dark Knight, but it also wasn't campy.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So, but that's the thing. But it had, what I liked about 89 was it had a mix of the two.
Right. Right?
So you got the Batmobile that was like a true Batman Batmobile, right?
Right.
But you had the dark atmosphere.
You did.
You know, you had the city, Gotham looked dark. Everything
right.
looked, I mean, everything was shot dark. It was dark, mysterious. It was, And we did have that as kids. I knew Batman as that, as the Dark Knight at the time. But you're right.
Right.
It wasn't as prevalent because it was balanced out by, I was a huge fan of Batman 66. Although yeah. we didn't call it that at the time.
No, it was just Batman.
It was Batman. I yeah. loved that show. And then, of course, you love the Super Friends. Batman was always the more serious one. Robin on the Super Friends, I felt, was always closer to Batman 66.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like that all, oh, golly gee, Batman.
Yeah.
Obviously, when we got to Batman 89, there's no Robin. That was the first, obviously, incarnation of a dark movie for Batman. From there, it got more campy. Even, what was the name of the second one? With Michelle Pfeiffer and Batman Returns.
Yeah, I say Batman Returns, but I say even going back to the 89, you balanced it out with the over the top Joker. You know, like he was still like the Joker.
He was campy,
right? He was campy. Like he had his dark side that you could see,
right?
But he was more like the Cesar Romero Joker, you know.
Yes,
that we were kind of used to. So it that was the balance in that movie where you kind of had both. You know,
but I thought that was a good balance because the Joker is supposed to be, you know, that's what you would expect out of the Joker. Be campy,
right.
You know, and Batman's more serious. Like, I mean, the Michael Keaton, I'm Batman, you know, it's like, I mean, you can't get more like serious and dark. But right. So anyways, we're here to talk about Batman Begins.
Yeah, we digress.
The point was it got campier and campier but there was basis for that.
Right.
Then you get X-Men. That was the beginning of us seeing real good comic book movies. Then you get Spider-Man. And now we get Batman Begins. And right. this movie, our expectations were, what, zero? I don't know what I expected at the time.
I don't remember what I thought going into it either. But I do remember coming out of it and thinking how serious of a movie it was. Like it took itself very seriously. There was no campiness at all. I mean, there was nothing in that movie that was
right.
Funny or, you know, to be taken lightly. Like that was the first, I don't even know that I definitely didn't dislike the movie when I came out of it.
No.
The first time, but I wasn't sure that I loved it either.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like I wasn't sure how I felt about it at first because it was so serious. Like I mentioned a little while ago about how I thought the Joker movie was going to be just yeah. a movie about a guy. That's what this was. Like
right.
this was just a movie about a guy who happened to put a bat suit on. But I mean, it wasn't like you said, a traditional comic book movie. There was no real over the top. Well, I mean, you have the Scarecrow, I guess, but I mean, there was no real over the top villain. I mean, the villain was like Mob Boss and, you know, Ra's al Ghul. So yeah, I don't know what you call him, but. But it wasn't like a Joker or, you know, going to Spider-Man like a Dr. Octopus or something.
Right.
It was crazy. This was just a cop movie. Like, it was, at its core, it was just a, like I said, a movie about a guy who happened to put on a bat suit. And like I said, I do like this movie a lot. You know, I ended up liking it a lot even then, but I had to think, like, I wasn't sure my initial reaction because of how serious it was and, you know, how it wasn't really.
So you wanted more campy. Like you were almost like. So,
I don't know that I wanted more campy, but.
That's funny.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what I wanted
right.
out of it.
But what I feel like it was like from everything we knew, like, I mean, watch Spider-Man again and watch any of the. I thought the X-Men were well done as movies at the time.
Yes,
but
they were.
The Spider-Man movies were. Comparatively more campy because they were brighter, they were more comic booky. This wasn't even shot like a comic book movie. It was framed.
No.
Everything was shot like a movie. That's our technical term, movie. But you know what I mean? So it's all I almost feel like you walked out of there going, what did I just see? That wasn't a comic book movie. And you were hesitant to think it was good. You know what I mean? Like that needed to be more campy for you to consider it a comic book movie.
I don't know because I don't even know if I could put my finger on what the difference is here. But if you go back to even the first Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire, that was also like there was no indication that there was any other comic book characters in the world in that movie either. There was no talk of, you know, other heroes. Like, he was, right, in that sense, just a guy who happened to get spider powers. But still, that movie felt very, very much like a comic book movie to me. Whereas Batman is a similar situation with the main character, but it felt a lot less like a comic book movie. I don't know if I even know why I feel that way, but I do feel that way.
Yeah. Well, I think it's evident. The movie it's not filmed like a comic book movie. It's not playing to comic book tradition of bright and campy and comic booky. It's filmed like a serious movie with serious actors.
Well, but so was Batman 89 in a way. Like, that wasn't filmed. That was pretty dark too, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was. And I could even say the same thing going back to that movie. Cause again, there was no indication of a shared universe or any other superheroes in that movie either. But it still felt like a comic book to me.
But even, well, yeah. But you know, also had the Batmobile in 89 was comic booky. As you stated earlier, the Joker was definitely comic booky.
Right.
In this movie, we had our villain was a mystery. You know what I mean? We got flipped there. We didn't know who the villain was, and we thought he was a friend. He ended up being foe by the end. And you know what I mean? So it's like, it was a serious movie that had a serious twist to it.
Right.
In, you know, Batman 89, as soon as, well, I guess it was a slight twist, but we all knew that Jack Nicholson was the Joker.
Right.
So you knew going in, and it's like, so there's no, we were all just excited to see Batman on the screen, on the big screen. But this, I mean, for what Christopher Nolan did, it was a complete twist. This revolutionized comic book movies,
right,
I think. And that probably lends to, like, you walking out of the theater, like, what did I just see? Do I like that? It's like, cause you were expecting a comic book movie, and you got a real movie. And then that changed our expectations for movies.
A movie.
Yes. I'm sorry. I meant to use the technical term.
Use the technical name.
Yeah. Movie. It changed our expectations. And obviously leads into, you know, Dark Knight. And then after that we have Iron Man. I think you can actually see, you know, a remnants of this in Iron Man where they made it serious. They made it grounded. Of course, that was a little bit more comic booky. It was brighter and
right.
It's, and then obviously, I think even from here, when the DCEU, when we started with Superman, what is it? Superman Returns? No, is that the right one?
Man of Steel.
Man of Steel. That's the one.
Yeah, I was like, what was it called? Man of Steel.
Yeah, well, Superman Returns was the one with Brandon Routh.
Yes.
Right, and so then we have Man of Steel. So Man of Steel. They kind of, I think that they were so infatuated with Christopher Nolan, which, I mean, Christopher Nolan was even involved with Man of Steel.
Yes.
So they tried to go a little darker with that, but that didn't work. It's like, I liked it, but I know a lot of the public didn't like Man of Steel, and they went darker with that. And I think that's because of the influence that Batman Begins and the Dark Knight trilogy had.
Yeah, I agree, but, you know, you've got to know your subject matter. You know, that lends itself to Batman. It
exactly.
doesn't lend itself to Superman or the Justice League or, you know, other things that follow. I think it's not a, you know, because the one thing that Marvel's done successfully is, like, it's not a cookie cutter formula, you know, in that they don't try to have the same tone in every movie that they do.
Right.
Because the characters are different, you know, and I think that's where DC struggled a little bit, because they tried to take something that worked for Batman in the Christopher Nolan trilogy and apply it, you know, directly over to other characters, and it doesn't work as well that way, because it's not the same character. You know, a Batman comic book and a Superman comic book have distinctly different feels when you read them, and, you know, the movie should follow suit, and they shouldn't be the same. Okay? I mean, I was waiting for your retort.
Oh. You would like me to retort.
Yeah. Are you finished?
Are you finished?
Allow me to retort.
Exactly.
Say what again?
Say what again? No, I agree. And I just think, we'll get back to Batman Begins. I think it's a shame, because I really do feel like that it was, they were so successful. That's what happened. They found that and they thought that was the recipe to success. And right. What they end up doing is they took stuff and made it too dark, right. And stuff that didn't need to be. And obviously you and I have had this discussion. I don't know if it's ever been aired, but then you see how they corrected their ways with Wonder Woman and,
right, in Aquaman.
Yeah. Well, Wonder Woman first, and on Themyscira, it's so bright.
Yes.
That was the first twist on the DC universe where everything, all of a sudden you're like, oh, look how bright it can. Yeah. They do have cameras with it.
Yeah.
It can open
the
apertures.
They have a sun. Yeah. They do have sun in the DCEU.
Yeah. It's like, wee, look at that. The one place on Earth that has no men. It's bright.
Right.
It's pretty much the way everybody sees it.
Yeah.
But getting back to Batman Begins, the other thing that I think grounded this movie is the cast. I mean, that cast was how many Academy Award winners?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the number, but I mean, we had Michael Caine, we had Christian Bale,
two,
Gary Oldman, three, Tom Wilkinson.
He didn't win.
No. He was
nominee.
Nominated.
He
all
was
right,
nominated.
Well, it's close enough. You got Morgan Freeman.
It's kind of second place, but okay.
Yeah.
Michael Caine actually has two.
Yeah.
So there you go. So now you can.
So that's why I listed
Gary Oldman, Christian Bale. But Christian Bale didn't win his. He didn't have it at the time.
At the time.
Yeah. But I mean.
But it was future greatness.
Yeah, exactly. So. But I mean, but that's like, and you and I have said this before. It's like, this movie holds up now.
Yeah.
Like, you watch this movie now and it's like, it's relevant now because one, this movie wasn't, you know, special effects laden. It wasn't based on Jerry Bruckheimer booms and special effects. It was based
on a lot of practical effects. Yes.
It was based on the story and the acting. Right. You know, the cast reinforced that. And you watch it now, it's grounded in reality as well. You know, going back to, you know, look at the Batmobile, you know, that or all of his quote unquote gadgets. They're all based in reality to the point that if you look it up on IMDb and you go through the little things, it says it's like a lot of their stuff, a lot of Batman's gadgets in this movie are actual military gadgets. Or I don't know if they use the term gadgets, but you know what I mean. So it's like this was a grounded movie, which lends to the idea, like you said, like, was this a comic book movie? It's like the Tumbler. It's not a traditional Batmobile.
So going back to that for a second, like, do you think that Bruce ever had any intention at all of trying to hide his identity from Lucius Fox? Because, like, he gets the Tumbler, and then all of a sudden Batman's driving around with the Tumbler, you know?
Well,
it's like,
they had already had that conversation. They had
played around a little bit where, you know, he didn't come out and say, hey, I'm going to be Batman. But it's like, here's a guy running around that's wearing the bodysuit that, you know, he just got from you. And driving the car that he just got from you.
Right.
You know, I just think he was pretty freely given that information up to Lucius. A guy he didn't even know. Like, he didn't even know that guy.
No.
You know?
Well, like, he did.
Well, not really.
Oh, you mean he didn't know Lucius?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, he didn't really know that guy well. He's like, I just met you down in R&D, and here I'm going to tell you I'm Batman.
You know?
So I thought that was, you know, pretty trusting of him.
Well,
and then
let me put on my John
tinfoil hat.
My John convenience hat.
Oh, okay.
One of the flaws that I've seen in this movie since day one, and believe me, this is my John hat because these go in one ear out the other. They do not bother me, and I'm even afraid to bring it up. But
set something off.
All of these things that Lucius gives him, he's like, we developed this for the military. We developed that for the military. Well, how come they didn't use it? Well, they didn't think, the bean counters didn't think it was worth $3 million for such and such. So the military knows about all of these pieces. They know where they came from. So, like, what are we supposed to think, that the military doesn't have records of things that they've been trying to develop and what companies they came from? Now, all of a sudden, their bridge car, the Tumbler, shows up on, like, jumping over bridges and stuff and on Main Street, and, like, all right, I'm done. That's my John
rant.
But
they But they might know that the technology came from Wayne Enterprises, but they're not going to be able to know that it's Bruce Wayne that's using it. Could be Lucius Fox, could be Batman, you know.
Yeah, but you're going to be able to track it down. You're going to be able to narrow it down.
I mean,
you're
going to know it's just a couple. It's like three different dudes, only one of them's a billionaire.
Right.
So
we got Alfred,
who looks
Lucius,
like he's a linebacker. Yeah.
One guy's hanging upside down doing push-ups every day, and the other two are old men.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably not too hard to figure it out. But, I mean, it's never been that hard to figure. His disguise is almost as bad as Clark Kent's.
Oh, no, no.
How many people in Gotham can afford the toys that Batman has? Like, how many billionaires live there?
Yeah.
And then, again, by process of elimination, how many of them look like linebackers, you know, for the Gotham Knights?
Right. But I've always, I'll always back that his disguise, it's his Playboy lifestyle. That when you see him out on the town, and one of the things they tried to portray in this movie.
They did.
Is that it's like his Playboy lifestyle that when you do see him, you go, no way. There's no way that guy could be Batman. Look how irresponsible he is. Look how goofy he is. Very similar to, you know, Clark Kent and being the bumbling idiot that, you know, he's got two left feet and, you know, he can't handle anything. There's no way that's Superman.
Right. But also, let's not forget that, you know, Bruce Wayne had been gone for 7 or 8 years, finally shows back up in town.
And here's Batman.
And then who comes along with him? Batman.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not a great disguise. I mean, it's better than glasses. I mean, I agree with you there. Don't get me wrong, but it shouldn't be that hard to decipher. It shouldn't be that hard to decipher who he is, especially when he starts running around with like a 9-year-old kid that Bruce Wayne just adopted. You know,
right?
And now all of a sudden, Batman's running around with a Robin.
Let's get back to the movie and not be dwelling on the flaws in our
favorite
characters. You
put your John hat on, so yeah. I'm just going along with you.
Sorry, I gotta burn that.
Yeah.
John hat.
At least it's not red.
How do you know?
I can see it.
So speaking of realism and all of this stuff, where do you put the tumbler? How do you rank the tumbler in Batmobiles?
I think it's low. It's low on my list of Batmobiles.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to say that because it takes away from, there wasn't a moment in my life that I looked at a comic book and went, no, that can't work.
Right.
And I really enjoy Batman 66, but I do know that can't work. It's like that car isn't real. So, right. But I love the grounded idea of Batman Begins in that trilogy, and I love the Tumbler because it's grounded in reality. It has a little bit of sense of Batman to it because, like he said, it was in tan, and he's like, does it come in black? That was pretty cool. And
right, because he could spray paint his uniform to make it black, but he can't spray paint the car. It has to be
done for him. Quick,
but
give me a 30-second segue.
All right.
I paint for a living. That scene goes right through me.
Which one? The one where he's painting his...
Yeah, because he's painting with... That's the kind of guns I use. And if you do not pull your finger off the trigger on each stroke back and forth, like, if you're painting something and you go... And you just go... And your hand is going back and forth, you'll get runs on either side. It just won't work. So what you have to do is... And you'd be able to see it. You'd hear it or see it. You change the pressure on either side and you go... And it gives you a nice even finish like he had. I'm like, there's no way. It's like, and it's just a stupid quirk with me that nobody in the world would know. Nobody knows. It's just, so, sorry. Back to you.
It's all right.
Back to real life.
The reason why is just what you're saying. Like, I understand in the context of this movie why the Tumbler is the right choice of a vehicle for Batman. Because, again, this is very...
The whole movie's grounded.
I'm going to use my air quotes. It's a reality. But, I mean, this is a... You could actually see that vehicle today. Like, I could see the military using a vehicle like that.
Right.
Maybe not, like, to jump over bridges or whatever. But, I mean, style, you know, the way it looks. But, to me, the Batmobile has always been an extension of, like Batman's costume or like his identity, you know? I mean, the car has always evoked a Batman feel. Whether they would work or not, you know, like the Batman 66 Batmobile, which is actually my favorite Batmobile just because it's iconic to me.
Yeah.
You're right. It's just a car. You know, I mean, there's no, you know, protection, no bulletproof glass. There's no nothing on it, right? He doesn't even have a roof. I mean, he's just driving around with his head out.
With a jet engine with no intake.
Yeah. Right.
There was no intake for the jet. Right. It's like,
so, I mean, I get, you know, I understand why this was the Batmobile for this movie, but it suffers for me because it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have that feel. It doesn't stand out like a Batmobile, I think, would.
Take the Tumbler and put it in Batman 66. That would look ridiculous. But take the car from Batman 66 and put it in Batman Begins. That would look ridiculous.
Right.
Because you know what I mean? So it's like, it's not the Batmobile, the campy Batmobile from 66. Right. But I think both Batmobiles fit each version.
You're right. It fits in that movie. And like I said, I concede that. Like, I don't disagree in any way with that, but it's just for me, from aesthetically, if I was ranking Batmobiles, it's low down on the list because it's just like a Hummer. Like, it's just like a military vehicle.
Right.
To me.
It's funny. That's one of the things they said. Christopher Nolan imagined the Batmobile as a cross between the Hummer and a Lamborghini.
And I mean, that's what he got. I mean, that's exactly
it's
what it is.
It's pretty much dead on. It's like, it's a Countach with big tires.
Right.
But yeah, that's funny. It's like, we're exact opposites because I think it's one of my favorite. I think it is my favorite Batmobile. I like the Ben Affleck Batmobile too.
Right. Which is more, that's more akin to the Christopher Nolan Batmobile than it is like what's his name that did Batman 89?
Tim Burton,
you know.
Yeah. Tim Burton is closer to 66. I like the Tim Burton one, which I don't know. I think I told you in the past. I got to work on that one.
Yeah,
that one I got to at World of Wheels in Boston because that's what I do for a living is paint bumpers. So I got to work on that one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had the invoice at work.
Yeah. Framed it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we framed it. Well, we had it hanging up in the office, the company I used to work for. And
it just says Batmobile $189.99.
Well, what's funny is like when we invoice vehicles, we write down like year, make, model.
Right. And then it says Batmobile.
And we always invoiced like the last eight of the VIN. And it was like, I wrote Batmobile. Yeah. And I was like, there was nothing out. There's no VIN. Yeah. There's nothing on it. It's Batmobile. And I think I even wrote Batmobile 89.
Right.
Because this was in like the early 2000s. And obviously this one hadn't come out yet. But I was like, Batmobile 89? I was like,
that's awesome.
And at the office, they're like, we all laughed about it. But yeah, it was pretty funny. It was like, we had it, Batmobile in the front bumper. Front lower right bumper, I think it was, that they had scuffed pulling it in because they used to push the thing around everywhere it went. But they had pushed it up a ramp and it scuffed it and they wanted it. Can you fix this? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was lying.
Even if I can't, I'm going to.
Can I try?
Yeah.
But it's like, I wish I still had the pictures. I don't know what happened to them, but yeah, that was pretty cool. But anyways, we digress yet again.
Yeah.
But
hey, it's our show.
Yeah. It's our show. Anyways, what were we talking about? Oh, Batmobile.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I always that's probably one of my favorite because I'm just more grounded. I like reality. That's my wheelhouse for art too. I like to draw realistic stuff. So I always say I'm not very creative, but people that outside the art world are like, no. But I'm like, no, I know creative people, but I like realistic stuff. So I do like that. And that's probably why I like this entire series. I mean, not a lot of people dislike this
series. I was gonna say it made a ton of money.
I'm not going out on
it.
A limb here saying that, you know. So what did you think of the incorporation of Ra's al Ghul into this movie? Because obviously this was the first time he was brought into feature film like this.
Yeah.
And making that part of Batman's backstory, basically Ra's al Ghul's introduction to the general public, really.
Yeah, I think Well, yeah, prior to that, if you weren't a comic book reader, you had no idea who Ra's al Ghul was.
Right.
And, you know, I think they did a good job at first trying to throw us off the scent, because the first time I saw the movie, I didn't know Liam Neeson was Ra's al Ghul. Like, I was fooled just along, you know, just like everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I thought he was, you know, Emil Dekar or whatever his name was.
And yeah, yeah.
I thought the other guy was Ra's al Ghul. It made sense, you know, and having known what Ra's looked like in the comics, I mean, it could have gone either way, you know, because, I mean, Liam Neeson did have a bit of his look, but so did the other guy.
Yeah.
So, so it did throw me at first. I didn't figure that out right away, but yeah, I thought it was interesting. You know, obviously, you know, in the traditional origins of Batman, that's not, you know, where Ra's shows up. Like, it wasn't during his training years where they met. Well, but like I said, I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was good.
I thought that they kind of foreshadowed it, like looking back on it now, but they kind of foreshadowed that Ra's al Ghul wasn't who you thought he was in that whole training sequence. Because remember in the final test when, Bruce gets cut on the arm and then he cuts another one of the ninjas to, you know what I mean? To show right. like, so then when, what was his name at the time? Liam Neeson's character at the time.
It was like Emil Dekart? Dekar, something like that? I want to say Emil.
Yeah, it was Dekard was his name. But right. that's who we... Well, Liam Neeson's character, Dekard.
Right.
But he grabs the wrong ninja because right. he sees the mark on the arm and it's, you know, that deception. Like, you're not... This isn't who you think it is. So they right. kind of foreshadowed it right there that Ra's al Ghul isn't who you think he is. And then late, you know what I mean? So it's like they both yeah. did the same trick. But then that, you know, at the end, well, you know, 3/4 of the way through the movie, when you get the reveal that it's right. that Liam Neeson is Ra's al Ghul, even after a few times of seeing the movie, I still wasn't like, maybe even he wasn't Ra's al Ghul. Like,
yeah.
You know, what if Ra's al Ghul's still a third person that
could be? Because, I mean, they never really say, but.
Right.
But we know, jumping ahead to the third movie, that, you know, Talia is involved and she blames Batman for the death of her father. So I think we could extrapolate out that it probably was Liam Neeson.
Right, but knowing the history, there's so much right, deception.
It could be anything, but
yeah.
we're gonna go under the assumption that he was.
Right.
But I thought that, like I said, it was the whole origin story was interesting in the sense that it seemed like he got a much later start to his training than, you know, it happened in the comic books. Like, cause we know that when Bruce meets, Liam Neeson's character, that he's probably like 25-ish years old. You know, he had left Princeton or whatever. We would assume he was 20, 21 years old, and he'd been kind of doing his thing for a little while out there.
Well,
so,
here's a couple things we do know. We know that his birthday party was his 30th because there's a sign there in that scene that
right
behind, what's her name? Katie Holmes' character. There's a sign in that scene where it says 30th. Okay.
Right. Rachel Dawes.
Rachel Dawes. There you go. So we can timestamp that as 30.
Right.
And we also know he was gone for 7 years.
Right.
So that would make him 23 if he came back on that day.
Right.
But we know he didn't come back on that day. So then maybe you could jump that back a year. Because here's the other thing is you don't know how long he was back for. He was gone for 7 because they stated that. But how long did it take him to develop the whole Batman thing? There's no time frame. That could have been a year. Because remember, right. he had to order all the parts and they got 10,000 right. of this. So for all we know, he was back for a year developing the whole Batman thing.
Yeah.
And that brings you to the 30. So he could have come back when he was 28, 29. He could have left when he was 21, 22. Because that 21, 22 is a college thing. So
right. If you were in Princeton, you know, you would be
right.
in your 20s.
Yeah, early 20s.
Hell, you could be 18, really.
20,
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
He's a freshman. But in any case, it's, you know, we assume he's probably like 23-ish when he meets Ra's al Ghul.
Right.
And that's like older than, you know, his traditional origin would put that training. You know, it seems like a late start. But, you know,
it's not the end
Christian
of the
Bale.
World.
No, but I'm saying Christian Bale, he is what he is. Like, you can't turn him into an 18-year-old.
Right.
So, you know, he's an actor that was 25 years old or so when he did it, so.
He was 30.
Okay, 30.
He's the youngest actor to play Batman, and he was 30 at the time.
Yeah.
And I thought Robert Pattinson was going to be the youngest, but he's actually 33.
Yeah.
Now.
So he's older.
But I, for some reason, I feel like he's younger. He's going to even look younger. I don't know where this one is going, but.
Right. Well, know, he's, anyway. I think he's going, well, I think the story that they're going to be telling in this new trilogy is, you know, kind of his year one story. So he is supposed to be a younger character.
Yeah.
But in any case, like I said, it just, if the origin was just a little bit different take than what we've seen in the past or what we knew from the comics. It wasn't drastically different or, you know, so different that it bothered me at all. But I kept, as I was watching it, I kind of felt like, man, he's a little old to just be starting his ninja training.
Right.
You know, and then picked it up pretty quickly, you know.
Well, you don't know
those
that,
things.
It could
usually
have been
those
like,
things are years and years and years of training that, you know, you go through to get to those levels of.
Yeah, but he could, you know, if he met him at 23, he could have trained with him for 5 years.
Yeah.
And then when that whole thing blows up and he leaves, he could have left when he was 21, been back at 28, met him at 23, he trained with him for 5 years, and there's your 7 years, he's gone.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. It's, I mean, 5 years is a long time. I mean, I don't know if I could.
It is.
I don't know if I could
it
be
is,
a ninja.
But I don't, but, right, I don't know if I could become a ninja in 5 years, you know. I'd
like to
but,
give it a shot.
Yeah.
Give me $1 billion.
I mean, and obviously he had done some, you know, he had had some training prior to that. Because even in, you know, when he goes into the jail or whatever, you know, he's practicing. You know, that's why he's starting fights and picking on, you know. And obviously he had had some training prior to that. So it's not like he had just started his journey, but
yeah, you can't go practice with the criminals and
right.
then get
if you haven't
better.
Done,
you just
yeah.
get dead.
Right.
It's like, oh, that didn't work.
But going back, you mentioned a second ago the explosion at the you know, camp Ra's al Ghul or whatever they call it.
Oh yeah.
You know, that kind of brings me to another sticking point, or one of the sticking points that I had
I
is
know.
That you know, so he finishes his training,
I
right?
know where you're going.
Yeah. He finishes his training. They want him to prove his loyalty to the League of Shadows before he can take on his, you know, the Foot Clan. He can become the leader of the, you know, I'm mixing my companies. But you know, so they want him to kill the prisoner that they have. And of course, Batman being Batman, or at the time, Bruce being Bruce, he refuses to do so. But then proceeds to, like, blow the place up and kill every person in it, including the dude that he wasn't going to kill. And drags out Ra's al Ghul,
okay.
The one guy he should have left in there to die, you know.
Okay. We don't know that everybody died.
I think we're pretty sure, though.
But we don't know.
Yeah, but when you – be honest. When you watched it, what was your sense? Your sense
thought,
is that everybody's dead.
No, I know? Laughed. I thought exactly what you were saying. Yeah. I thought it years ago. I thought it every time I've probably seen the movie. I laughed it off. But then when we had to – when we made the decision to do this and that scene comes up, I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah. You see, you know. So you have
to
put
I'm thinking,
you have to put your Mr.
Like
Brightside
you.
Spin on it. So hit the sounder now.
I'm dying to work that in.
Hit the sounder. All right. Now we're back. They're all dead. I don't
no,
care.
They're not.
They are.
You don't, well, you don't know they are, but here's the thing. If somebody told you, you gotta chop this guy's head off, and you don't wanna do it, so you take some embers and you throw them and sorry, you just blew up the whole I can't even make well, it work.
I know, I was like, dead is still dead. It's like,
I know.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't mean to kill 97 people. It was an accident. You know?
I
saved the one guy, though. Don't I get credit for time served for that?
Right.
You know?
I don't know.
So
I don't know. I can't make it work. It is kind of funny that he didn't want to kill one guy, so he starts a fire that burns down the house that kills everybody in it. But
well,
I
like
don't,
I said, it doesn't even save the one dude. That's the funniest part.
My conscience is clear. I think that everybody lived and everybody got out.
Okay. If that makes you sleep tonight,
you glad you got that off your chest.
I am glad
Mr.
I got it off
convenient
my chest. Yeah, that wasn't convenience. That's like, you know, what happened.
That's your other nickname.
Yeah, Mr. Convenience.
All right. So, all right. So that is, I guess this is a good segue and we can wrap up on this because I know you're dying.
You can see me like climbing up my chair right
well,
now.
When I,
getting ready
when
to talk about
well,
it.
Well, when I saw the movie again this time, knowing that you and I were going to talk about it, we had this discussion a year ago almost. Did Batman kill Ra's al Ghul?
Yes, I think he did.
But did he kill him or did he just, is it your responsibility to save somebody?
Well, it's the same end result, right? Like,
well, no.
You know, I know what happened, right? He says, I'm not going to kill you, but I don't have to save you. And what's the difference? Dead is dead. Like, he still killed him. You know,
he didn't kill him. He just didn't save him. And we had this, discussion with, you know, back when we talked about Titans. And
yeah, all right. But when we had Titans, we didn't have Batman Hush. So go back to Batman Hush that we just talked about like 2 weeks ago. Right? At the end of that movie, Batman almost dies himself trying to save the Riddler. You know, he's got him hanging over the cliff and Batman's falling off the cliff, right? And he's doing everything he can to save him. And if it's not for Selina that comes up and pulls Batman back, he might have gone over and died himself trying to save the Riddler. And when he gets pulled back, he's mad at Selina because he says, I could have done more. I could have saved him. And that is Batman. Like, to me, that's the core of what Batman is. And that is not how it happened in, you know, in Batman Begins. In Batman Begins, he just, you know, lets him go and lets him die. I think there's, like, Batman isn't just necessarily about not killing, but he's about preserving life, you know, and stopping people from dying.
Yep.
And, you know, I think even though there is a distinction, you know, there's a difference there, the point is the same. And I think that's what Batman should be. And I like see you get this big grin, like you're dying to burst in now with your retort. But
well, I I had one.
Yeah,
I got to give it to you. The word I think, and it popped in my head, and it was actually the tweet that we went off the other day. It wasn't in that tweet. I'm almost speechless, but I know the word that you were looking for is redemption.
Right.
I got to give it to you on that one. It's like, yeah. I can't argue with you. It's like, you're right. And you're right when we didn't have Hush. We probably did, but we didn't have it on the tip of our tongue like that.
Right. Because we had the book, but it wasn't fresh in our mind. But like I said, when we talked about it on Titans, you know, I made similar points. I didn't bring up Hush, but you know, Robin, which really that is just I think whoever was writing Titans at the time had just seen Batman Begins because that scene
right.
is exactly
the
like
thing.
The end
yeah.
of Batman Begins.
Right.
And I think he even says something, I have to go back and watch it, but I think he even says something similar to the idea of, you know, I'm not going to kill you, but I'm not going to save you either.
Right.
And like it is the same beat from that movie.
Right.
It might be. And again, I know that, like I get it from a movie. We're used to our heroes killing the bad guys in movies. That's what we want to see. Like, we watch Rambo. We want Rambo to kill all the bad guys. We want Danny Glover to shoot the guy at the end of Lethal Weapon 2 right in the head.
Right.
Like, we want that to happen in our movies. And so that's what happens. And I understand it from a movie perspective, but I don't understand it from a character perspective. And I just think that's not,
right.
you know.
So that's a great point, and it leads me to – really, it leads me to that whole redemption thing. And as you were saying that, I was like, I was obviously 180 off of my argument, but it made me think of that, those panels that person tweeted at us about Joker having
yeah.
humanity, right? Well, in those panels, it was showing the humanity of Batman and the redemption. And the quote, I just pulled it up while you were talking, and the quote from Batman is, it doesn't have to end like that. I don't know what it was that bent your life out of shape, but who knows? Maybe I've been there too. Maybe I can help. We could work together. I could rehabilitate you. You needn't be out there on the edge anymore. You needn't be alone. So it's like Joker, who is his ultimate foe.
Right.
Beyond redemption in every incarnation.
Right.
As, and what we've been saying for, since the Joker movie was talked about, is beyond redemption and zero humanity. Right. But still, Batman, that's his sole goal, is to rehabilitate these people.
I think that's actually a flaw, like a character flaw in Batman, is that he doesn't see, like he's so blinded by the idea that he could redeem this person that he doesn't see that it's impossible.
I don't think
think he should kill him. You know, like I agree with him not killing him, but I think there's a point where he doesn't recognize that this guy's beyond redemption.
I don't think it's a flaw. And
don't make me have to have you play the song again.
Oh, jeez. No, and you might after in a second, because here's the thing. It's like this whole entire thing, the bright side. This was all my idea of this came from my father, who's obviously not Batman, but it's the same idea. There's the world's filled with negative, right? It's easy. And it's in our Twitter bio. It's easy to be negative. If you want to be negative, I can be negative too. I can tear anything down. It's easy. I can take the best movie and make fun of it. That's easy.
Right.
Find goodness in bad. That's hard.
Right.
But it's worth it because there's good in everything. And that's what Batman's trying to say. You know what I mean? It's like you and I it was a year ago. We sat there and the whole idea of us doing this podcast came from we loved all of this stuff and we're like, why does everybody hate this stuff or hate this, hate that? And we're like, that's what founded this. I mean, I hate to tie that into this, but it literally is. That's Batman's like, I can rehabilitate this guy. And in this frame, he's talking about Joker. But getting to Batman Hush in your example, yeah, that's Batman. That's his quote code that they use. That's what breaks up him and Selina.
Right.
Because at the end of Hush, she leaves him because it's like, I don't want to be around when you die.
Right.
Because if I wasn't there, you'd be gone right now.
Right. And she knows that he's never, like, he's going to be him.
Right.
Like, regardless, he's always going to be him and he's never going to change.
Right.
So
in every incarnation or every version of their story where they break up, you know, it's the wedding, it was because he needs to be him. It's and the version of him, she can't be around. And each one, it's a different reason of him. Right. You know, this one's like, he's going to die. This one is, he needs to be him for the Joker and blah, blah, blah. And she knows it. But it's, you know, you blew me away with that hush point. But that's a great point. That's a huge, huge point that I wasn't thinking, because I'm just thinking of like, it's okay. It's right. He didn't kill him. But you're right. It's not that he didn't kill him. It's that every fiber in the character's being is about redemption and saving even the unsavable.
Every life is important. Like every life is sacred, you know?
Exactly.
Now again, it makes a much different movie if he, you know, it probably goes on for another 30 to 45 minutes if he doesn't kill him there at the end. So,
well, no, it's
maybe
like,
a runtime thing, but.
Well, you put it, you could change it, and it's like you pull, there's a million ways. Pulled him out with him. And speaking of that, that's one of the things that I did like about that scene is that it's, and this gets back to my whole Tumblr thing and the realism and everything. It's like just before he blows the back of that train off so that he can escape, he actually blows out one of the front windows in the train. So that it creates the wind to come through to blow him out the back. Because if you don't blow out the front window and you just blow the back of the train off, it creates a vacuum, which would have pushed him further into the train. He wouldn't have been able to use his cape to go out.
Right.
And I thought that
I didn't catch that. I'm not,
I didn't either. The first
I still think there's air in space. You know, I'm not very aerodynamic, so I don't know. You know,
I just thought that was cool because it's like that's such a minute detail that, like you said, like nobody would have noticed. He could have blown the back of the train off, his cape goes out, and he would have flown out the back, and everybody would have been fine, and you would have had like five scientists in the world that would have been like, well, wait a minute. That wouldn't have happened because the vacuum effect would have pushed him further into the train. And it's like
Sheldon and Leonard would have been like talking about it on the Big Bang Theory.
Exactly. And it's like that vacuum effect would have done it. But it was cool enough that they put that detail in. I thought that was really cool. Like go back and watch that scene again. Why does he blow the window out? Well, that's why. There was no reason to shoot past Ra's al Ghul and blow a window out for no reason.
Yeah.
Well, there was a reason, but that's
cool. Yeah. I never would have, I would have been one of those guys that never put that two together.
Again, Nerdy Legion. That's a nerdy point. I like your Hush point better.
Yeah.
So you're not going to let me live that down. Are you?
I'm not. I'm going to, every time something comes up and, you know, I disagree with you, I'm just going to go Hush, DJ. Hush.
Seriously, you couldn't, it couldn't be better.
I know, that's awesome.
With that phrase, like forever from here on in, it's like, I'm going to, people are going to start tweeting that at me now. Hush, DJ.
Yes, Hush, DJ. Hush. Like, hashtag Weezy. Hush, DJ. Yeah, Hush, Weezy, Hush.
Nudie said Hush.
That's right.
All right.
On that episode of the Nudie and Weezy podcast.
Oh, that's enough. All right, is that all you got?
Yeah, I think so. I think we covered just about everything that I wanted to cover.
Yeah, you've rendered me speechless. So
I know I need to. Here. I need to stop while I'm ahead because that's not going to happen too often. So
no, me going speechless? No.
Yeah.
All right. As we said at the beginning, what did we miss? We always say that. Yeah. I don't know. We talk forever and we miss a bunch of stuff. So, but what we like is conversation. That's the idea. That's what we're having here. So. Join the conversation on Twitter at thebrightside_chat, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And please rate, review, subscribe. If you didn't do it earlier in the podcast when we asked you to do it, do it now. Do it again.
We'll still wait.
There won't be much left here. But and we're on all the different platforms. And, of course, we are proud members of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network.
Got it.
They added more today. I know. Got it. Yeah. High, crisp high five for you.
One take.
Swear to God. Yeah, they added even more podcasts today, I think.
I saw that. I saw something on Twitter.
They're growing. There's some. It's all good.
We're so like old vets now.
Yeah. Look
after
at us.
3 weeks.
I think a couple of them were around before and they're back or something. Oh, I don't know. But yeah, go to the, you know, nerdylegion.com. Check them all out. You can actually subscribe to everybody right then and there, which would be awesome. Just go there, click on that, and then everybody gets credit, whether you listen or not. Pick and choose. I'm listening to all of them, and it's all nerd. I'm running out of time because I have the podcast I listen to. Now I'm listening to all of these. It's so much fun for anybody like us, nerds. Let's get out of here. It's getting late.
All right. Yep. Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.